It's true.
It's true. Do you still have your mini keg, or did you drink it all?
No, that's in the fridge.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, when was the last time you had your go-to beer?
Last week?
No. When was the last time I had my... The last beer that I had was the Rebel IPA from Samuel Adams. That's a good beer, but it's not my go-to beer.
Right.
It's not a Boston Lager.
Or a Dogfish Head 60 Minute.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are my go-to beers. God, those are good beers.
So are we recording? No, we're not.
Yes, we...
We are.
The needle is moving.
I can't see it anymore. I'm so confused. This new setup has just ruined my life.
Dave is now blind since we turned him a different direction.
We did something that we knew would have fucked with Dave. We changed something. We changed where we were sitting. His feng shui is all cattywampus.
I was at the gym the other day, okay?
Okay.
And I was... And no one else can ever put the dumbbells back correctly on the rack. Okay.
Are we sure this isn't a Dave thinks that they need to be put on there correctly thing?
They should go in order, okay?
Gotcha.
Whatever.
Dave is dying, 50. By the way. I'm pretty sure he's having a heart attack. I don't know what's happening. He said he was experiencing insane chest.
Is he laughing, or is he just like breaking down?
I don't know,
and crying,
but I can
now
definitely tell you he's drooling. Dave. He said he had a burning pain in his chest, and he's been coughing. I'm a little concerned for this man.
Herpes of the chest.
What was it that happened a little while ago where he was just like insanely horrible? Then he stood up and sat back down and he was fine. That was last year, I want to say.
Oh, it's really like he couldn't walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird. Now he's disappeared.
He has disappeared. Well, welcome, Nats fans. This is the Citizens of Natstown podcast for Thursday, May 8th. I'm your host, TJ Landemeyer. We've got Matthew Davila.
Yo.
And David Huzzard is somewhere in the bathroom dying.
No, David is now dead. David is with Bryce Harper on the dead list.
I don't know. I think I hear movement back there. Who knows?
I can go poke him with a stick and make sure he's still twitching. Dave.
What?
Okay, he's fine.
Hey, and we're back. Dave stopped dying.
I live. I am reborn. It's a little too late for Easter, but
shut up and drink beer.
All right, let's go through this this last week. Let's pull these up.
Okay. I mean, how do we get over this? This man almost died. We're sitting here. We're like, so that happened.
Nah, we just move on like nothing happened.
It was just an air bubble.
Oh, so
stop me from talking and everything else.
Didn't stop you from drooling.
No, it didn't.
There was nowhere for the saliva to go because there was an air bubble in my throat.
Dave, you're a very strange man.
At least I think that's what it... Not a doctor, so I don't actually know what happened.
Is there like a sonic level going on inside of you right now?
Wow.
There could be.
Sonic boom.
Not that sonic.
No, I'm just... It made me think of it, you know.
Okay. Wrong one.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, we go back to the Phillies.
The Phillies.
Friday night.
Cliffly a bitch.
Well, thank you, Mike Adams.
Yes, thank you, Mike Adams.
Yes, Cliffly now hates you forever.
Cliffly's got an attitude adjustment.
That's weird. Strasburg gave up the home run in the first inning to Marlon Byrd.
I mean, my serious question here is, who has Denard Span ever pissed off?
Oh, that? Well, that was just Cliff Lee trying to steal a strike. Denard Span just being in the way.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, that's all that was. So, yeah, what will be a discussion topic here shortly. Strauss gives up a couple of runs in the first inning and then is pretty much lights out the rest of the way.
Yeah.
The Nats do steal one against Cliff Lee, which anytime you can do that, it's a good day. Take that game 5-3. The following day,
They did not do very well.
No. No, they did not.
Tanner Roark.
Chalk that one
Found up to, Earth.
Yeah. Chalk that one up to It Happens.
Yeah. Well, I think with Tanner Roark, that's start going to be more of the norm now.
A little bit of pumpkin time for him.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I wouldn't... I mean, I agree, though, but if he can still be... If he can keep a sub-4 ERA, I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be great from your fifth starter.
Yeah. He's not going to go out there and give up 7 runs on a daily basis.
Right.
That was...
I mean, he's just... He's done so well, he had to turn back into normal at some point.
It is regression that we talk about all the time. It is regression to the mean. So he was very good... And then for that to kind of even itself out, normally a very bad happens along the way. Yeah. And this would be that 4 innings, 7 hits, 7 earned runs, 5 Ks and a walk. Gave up 2 2 long balls.
His next start gets to be against Sonny Gray.
So we lost that one.
Does it always feel like it's Tanner Roark versus these guys?
It does. I don't know why it is.
It was him versus Jose Fernandez.
Which is just insane.
It is.
And the Nationals won that game.
They have won quite a few that you started. So, moving on to Sunday's game.
That was not a good game.
No.
So 1-0 loss.
Freaking Jimmy Rollins won that game single-handed. I feel like every out was a ground ball to Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah, well, and then he scored the 1 run, didn't he?
Exactly. The triple in the first inning.
Yeah. It reminded me of the damn Scott Olsen start, but Nationals on the wrong end of it. Yeah. Where they got the run in the first inning, then...
Yeah, I was at that game.
And then Scott Olsen outdueled a much better pitcher.
Tim Hudson.
Yes.
Yeah, I was at that game back in 2010.
Yeah, and Gio Gonzalez goes 7 1/3, 4 hits, 1 earned, 7 Ks and 2 walks. Is it Ramon Hernandez?
No.
Roberto Hernandez.
Roberto Hernandez.
Fausto
Carmona. Filling in.
Fausto Carmona.
For, was it a sick Cole Hamels?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Who hadn't been good in his first couple starts and wasn't good his last time out.
You owe me a Coke.
No, he was not.
So the Nationals may have been better to have faced Cole Hamels than old Roberto.
Well, we were kind of looking for that, but then again, he's only had 2 starts.
Yeah.
So who knows how much of that is rust and working back into your rhythm.
But he wasn't really that good last year either.
No.
Things sometimes just happen to starting pitchers.
Yeah.
See Mr. Tim Lincecum.
So,
Gio pitched really well in that game.
He did pitch very well.
I was a little disappointed for him, you know, just deserved a better fate. But, I mean, pitcher wins, losses, go figure.
Yeah. So, in the following day, the Nats came home to face one Zach Greinke.
Zach who? Loser.
Greinke.
I was surprised we got a run off that guy.
A 2 run.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
In the first inning.
Yeah.
The Nationals actually led after the first inning for once.
They led the whole game, which is strange.
Yeah, and it's glad they got that game in.
Yeah, no, that was one game I'm glad they played because, if they had done a doubleheader the next day.
And then you lose the 2 runs you scored.
Do you really?
Yes.
Wow.
You lose the entire game.
Really? So you have to replay the whole game?
Yes.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's why it's good that they play the game.
You know what? I went to bed at like 10:30 that night, and I woke up the next day, and I was very pleasantly surprised. You know, that was a nice little surprise. Wake up, walk the dog, look at the score, 4-0 win. Doesn't happen a lot. I usually watch the games.
Well,
yeah.
You got a whole week of West Coast now.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch half those.
God, I know. I'll watch
the Oakland ones because they're on the weekend. But
yeah. But, I mean, it's going to be hard to watch those ones.
And really, I mean, it's 2 in Arizona. The 3rd one today game.
God damn it, what's going on here?
You're on something. What are you doing?
I don't know what's going on. It's like the earth is just shifting.
This is all your fault, TJ.
Okay, who drugged Dave's beard?
Well, to be fair, the beer drugged Dave. I mean, what did I say? 7.8 by volume? 7.8.
No, I think it's because we moved the table over here, okay? Screwing with my whole sense of being.
His equilibrium is off because we moved the table.
Not because of the 7.8 alcohol by volume beer. 2 of them.
Look, Look, what I was trying to say when God struck me down with the air bubble in my throat was
well, the God that struck him down, TJ.
I almost lost it at the gym because I was trying to put the dumbbell back where I found it, which was in the wrong place to begin with.
Hey, he was starting a story, wasn't he? And then he died.
And then so I went to put it back where I found it, and it wouldn't fit. I just kept fooling with it, trying to just... it's the wrong place anyway, so...
And then an air bubble appeared in your throat, and you almost died.
And you saw a three-eyed raven.
And he said, nevermore.
But I almost just yelled out in frustration, why won't this go back where it belongs?
Okay.
When I buy cookies to eat, I always have to buy 3 cookies. Can't be 2, can't be 4, it has to be 3.
Why?
Dave, how many times did you turn off the lights when you leave a room?
Once.
No, is that once, and then once again, and then once again, and then once again? Or just once and they're off?
Just once, but all the light switches have to line up and go in the right direction. What? Up is on, down is off.
I want to put Dave in a room where the light switches go to different things, but they each kind of attach to like 2 things. Yeah. So one goes off, one goes... God damn it! Which... He'd go nuts.
He'd lose his fucking mind.
Everything must be in the proper order and never move.
Yikes.
I think he wants you to put the table back is what he's saying. Suck it up, Dave. This is working better already.
My whole world has been shaken.
I actually have room behind me. I don't feel like I'm incapacitated by a damn wall.
Yeah, got some space.
All 3 of us have room, Dave.
Although you'll be crowded by curtains next time.
Yeah, well, nobody cares.
Curtains!
Curtains.
Okay, so moving on to the next day. Clayton Kershaw makes his triumphant return at Nats Park.
And he killed the Nationals.
Which is fine.
He does what Clayton Kershaw does.
Be awesome?
Yes.
That guy is an awesome pitcher.
Blake Treinen went 5 innings.
You know, Blake Treinen
and
did
was
better
good
than
after
I thought
5.
He was going to do.
Well, you sent me a text message that I think tells the whole story. You said, how about Robbie Ray? I'm like, well, Blake Treinen would have done better if Matt Williams was as smart as Brad Ausmus.
Although Matt Williams just does not know how to handle a pitching staff.
Robbie Ray was left in for the 6th.
Oh, he was.
He went 5 1/3.
Oh.
Ooh.
So, maybe if the Nationals scored 11 runs like the Tigers.
They should just trade for the Tigers.
I mean, all it would take is Doug Fister. Give us the Tigers.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. They're a great organization.
Yeah, that was just one questionable move on his part.
He really wanted Lombardozzi. In fact, he really wanted...
But you know what? If Robbie Ray, Ray is up and pitching now...
The other guy, the reliever, the lefty.
No one cares about
Ian Kroll. Yeah, we traded Ian Kroll for Doug Fister.
If Ray's up and pitching now, I mean, he's definitely got the pedigree to be there. Granted, he's going against Houston. In his first start, but he did enough that he's supposed to start on Sunday against Minnesota.
Well, I think he's just a guy. He's a Taylor Jordan, Tommy Malone, Brad Peacock guy.
Robbie Ray?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty much what his upside of everyone else was saying is. It is.
But if you go and put him, I mean, he's not going to be the Doug Fister spot this year. But if his ceiling is that number 3 kind of guy.
Yeah, that's the guys I mentioned were borderline major leaguers.
I was going to say, is Brad Peacock a number 3 guy? I thought that was his upside. Don't think he's made it that far.
I think Robbie Ray's upside is number 3 guy, but upside is upside for a reason. Most people don't reach their ceiling. Sort of go between that.
But he's closer to making the major league, or obviously he's made the major leagues.
Yes.
Closer than what they had, and they have him for a longer period.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It helped their organization in the way that they wanted it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm no doubt that was a trade that worked out for both sides, I think.
Right. They got what they wanted, and
we got what we wanted.
We haven't seen that yet.
Touche.
We'll find out.
Hopefully we got what we wanted tomorrow.
Man, you guys are so close. We almost had a great segue into looking at next week's games.
This close.
There'll be one more game to go to. So, the final game in the LA series, Strasburg once again gives up a couple of runs in the first inning.
Because he loves to do that.
And then Dan Heron returns the favor, giving up two right back.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was nice to be on the other side of Dan Heron screwing the pooch at Nationals Park.
But that was an aberration for him so far this year. He has been fantastic.
Wish him the best. Just not when he plays the Nationals.
Absolutely.
I want to look up something.
I've always been a Dan Heron fan. Even when he had a bad year last year, I was still a fan of Dan Heron.
I know there are other pitchers that have been aces that have had trouble in the first inning. And
Cole Hamels comes to mind.
Well, you know, just that sort of settling into the game.
It's very odd. It really is. I mean,
do you guys remember, was it Jabba Chamberlain that they used to have, like, basically throw a simulated inning in the bullpen before starts?
I don't know if it was him, but let's see. What? This is just, okay. Pitcher, career ERA 3.54. Let's remember that.
Okay.
So now the first inning here. This is the entire career, by the way. Mm-hmm. Very long career. First inning, ERA 4.58.
Wow.
So quite a difference, about one run difference between their career and the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
Pitcher traditionally struggled in the first inning. Yeah, most other innings he settled right down. Most of them are at or below his career average, except for the ninth inning, which is 3.79, which is 73 games in the ninth inning. 57 innings.
Don't most really good pitchers have trouble in the first inning for some reason?
I think so, they do, but do you want to guess the pitcher that historically I'm talking about?
Do we get any more hints? How many seasons?
Let me go back to here. 682 games.
What years?
87 through 2008.
Greg Maddux.
No.
Damn it. That's pretty close.
That is very close.
Other guy went to the Red Sox in 2010.
No, not that other guy. The other guy. There was three of them.
Glavin?
Yes.
Damn it! That's the one I was going to start with, and then I heard those years. God damn it! When you initially said that, I'm like, no, years. It's not going to be Greg Maddux, so let's go. It's probably Tom Glavin. And then you said the years. I was like, fuck, those are like
when he said the
right
years,
at.
When he said the years, I knew it was Braves.
Well, remember, they retired the same year because they're going in the Hall of
Fame. They are going in the Hall of Fame the same year.
Yeah.
What was Maddux's first year then? 88?
Let me look up.
God, they really pitched for that long. That's insane.
Let's look up Greg Maddux here and see when he pitched.
Citizens of Old Braves Pitchers Town.
Citizens of Beer Town, duh.
He started,
you get taken
his
off
first
the
year
ice,
was
1986.
So 86 to 2008. Let's see how he did in the first inning.
I'm going to go with better.
I'm going to go with worse, just because.
Splits, damn it.
Dave's going to go with same.
Same, all innings, same.
That's probably what he did. Career ERA, 3.16. Let's go down to the first inning. Let's see here. First inning, 4.09.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So struggling in the first inning is not something. Extra innings, he pitched five times in extra innings, had a 6.35 ERA. Those 5.25 innings in extra innings.
Now, that's almost crazy. Sounds like a piece writing itself.
What?
Going down and looking at this list of career ERA career in the first inning.
Yes.
I mean, it's just very odd because Strasburg has these struggles in the first inning. You know, struggles, quote unquote. He gives up a run or two.
Yeah,
and
it's
then
just
for the rest of the game, he's just lights out.
Well, and I mean, some of that is the issue. Granted, the Nats are scoring more runs than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they're at home, putting them on the ropes, like, not on the ropes, putting them in a hole like that to start. isn't always the best situation. But then again, he's more or less lights out the rest of the way. So, who knows?
It's just weird to see, you know. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I keep hearing the same thing. You know, you need to change your routine. I'm sure if it were that simple, he would have done it by now.
Well, I think, you know, you hear this about it. Like, I just looked at Pedro Martinez, about the same thing. Almost a run higher in the first inning over his career. So, good. So, the first inning, I mean, you think about it, it's the one time in the game where the opposing manager gets his top three guys to the plate in order. It's the one time when you have that.
Well, it might be the first time. But it could be the, you know, what if the guy's throwing a perfect game?
Then he's doing pretty damn good the second time he sees him. But the first inning is, you know, that one time.
The guaranteed.
When, yes. Yeah. I think if a guy's throwing a perfect game, I'd take the whole set, you know, getting to face the set lineup every single time.
Yeah.
But it's the one time where you're really going to face the guy. Like, you know, you look at it, it comes up, you got the pitcher, and then the number one batter, and then number two. You can basically, you get three outs, you avoid number three. And how many times have you seen it where Strasburg gets those first two outs, then the third guy reaches?
I feel like that's what happens every single time. Seriously, because he'll get those first two outs, then suddenly, boom, a hit, boom, another hit, boom, a walk, boom, a bases clearing hit, you know? Crazy.
It is a little crazy, but I think it's one of those things that as the season goes along,
it's going to go away.
We'll even out. Not go away, because he's going to give up runs in the first inning.
Yeah, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you look here. He got D. Gordon. Carl Crawford comes up. Called strike. Swinging strike. Ball. And then he threw his curveball. And then he gives up four straight singles after that.
Right.
Including an 11-pitch at-bat to Adrian Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Which, what the fuck are you going to do about that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's just annoying.
And I don't know if people know this or not, but the Dodgers lineup's pretty good.
Yeah, Adrian Gonzalez, okay. Carl Crawford at least has some pedigree kind of behind him of he's done okay before.
What's his nuts?
Yasiel Puig.
Ramirez.
Ramirez, Puig. It's.
I mean, their bad hitters are Andre Ethier, D. Gordon. You know?
Well, D. Gordon's having a pretty good year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're bad hitters.
Yeah. Well, their bad hitters, Miguel Oliva and Juan Uribe.
I was going to say, is Andre Ethier really a bad hitter?
True.
They actually do have bad hitters on the team. They're just guys that probably won't be on the team at the end of the year.
No.
They're not as good hitters as what I was going
I don't
going
know
for.
How Juan Uribe's still on that team.
Well, probably because Marco Scudero is injured. You would have to think Marco Scudero will be playing third when he comes back.
You'd hope so.
Marco Scudero's a giant.
Wait, is he?
Yeah. He's on the Giants.
No, who is the...
Oh, I'm thinking Mark Ellis, who's now on the Cardinals.
Yeah. Oh.
Those two are like the same person.
Separated at birth.
Look.
Like, or is it the same person? They just fly back and forth every night.
Omar Infante could be put in that group, too. Like, guys who, you know, you think of as utility guys, but are good enough to start. I mean, they usually end up starting.
Yeah.
I mean, Scudero was signed to be a backup, and Ellis was signed to be a backup, and for the Cardinals, but he ends up the starter. It's Colton Wong didn't do well enough.
Although Wong is coming right back up here shortly.
So now the Nationals go to Oakland, where Doug Fister gets his first start of the season in a place that spews raw sewage.
Yay.
I feel there's a fisting joke in there somewhere.
Probably. We'll see if you can get it.
I don't know if I can quite pull it.
No. Yeah, he's not even trying at this point.
Okay, so tomorrow it is Doug Fister versus Tommy Malone.
Tommy Gun Malone.
Oh, Nationals get to face two former Nationals in back-to-back games. It's unfortunate Tommy Malone can't bat.
Shows what you know, sir.
I know. Yes, well.
Let's pull him up.
Well, he had a memorable first start with the Nationals.
And he did.
Great.
Well.
So far this year, yeesh, 5.86 ERA, he's 0-3.
But what's his home road splits?
I'm pulling him up now.
How many home starts has he actually had? is that Cavernous Ballpark helps a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's had one at home and four away.
Well, that's his problem.
His start at home was a 4.5 ERA.
Well, maybe that's not his problem.
I mean, it's one start. Six innings, three runs. with a 2.38 average. Where his away is 21 and two-thirds innings, a 6.23 ERA. And, of course, I'm on ESPN right now, so I don't have FIP. And then a 2.83 average against.
You're looking at Tommy Malone?
Yeah, if you want to pull up Fangraphs.
Well, that's a game I think the Nationals... Well, the lineup for the A's is pretty damn good.
Yes, it's very
Jonas
good.
Jonas Despedes. He's
Josh Reddick's not hitting, he's still scary when he hits.
Josh Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson.
Don't forget the near face of
5.45 FIP, 5.23 XFIP.
Well, don't forget the near face of MLB, Eric Sogard.
Eric Sogard, God. Get hits, Eric Sogard. Jesus Christ, you're on my fantasy team, you bum.
Well, do you really want to get hits this weekend?
No, I don't.
Yeah, Jed Lowry, he's
so did you
good.
Pick him because he was almost the face of MLB?
No, there were no second
basemen. Hey, I know that name.
There were no second basemen left when I had zero.
Well, I told you that Ned Odar is getting called up.
Who?
Yeah, no, he's sitting on my bench now.
Oh.
Who? I'm sorry, what did you say?
Rough Ned Odar.
Oh, that guy, yeah. Well, you said that as I was leaving work and getting into my car.
Oh, so TJ got him.
So TJ, being the... You suck. It's all right. I got Brandon Hicks. Guy hits home runs.
Thanks for cutting Brian Roberts, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, fine. That's fine. He didn't do anything for me.
He's doing a knock-up job now.
Is he?
Yes.
That guy's a bastard. Still wears his damn Orioles jersey and that Yankees shit. I had the funny thing about that, and the reason that's annoying, is because I had him for 2 weeks, dropped him for a week, came back and picked him up, and then I dropped him again.
I just find it funny that people like keep getting dropped. Like Jason Kubel. Like people just keep picking up and dropping him.
I had him, and then he did he's nothing, tumbling, and I was like, all right, you're out.
He's remembering what is, he's Jason Kubel.
Oh, why is my MLB at bat telling me something? Did something important happen?
No.
Rockies third baseman Nolan Arenado set a club record.
He hit his 28th?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had him on my fantasy team last year. My fantasy team last year was so cobbled together. I don't think I ended up with anyone from the draft in that. Okay, but...
Yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah, but is Jonas Cespedes playing right now?
Yes.
Okay. Because he seems to... you never can tell with him.
He's always got some weird little injury that pops up.
I know that Coco Crisp hurt his neck catching a fly ball. And...
I like John Jaso. He's good. Dude's an on-base machine.
Can they not have 10 o'clock games on Saturdays?
Why not?
No, that's my question, because the game on Saturday starts at 9:05.
No.
And the Seattle game starts at 9:10.
No, they can, because one of the games I went to out there was on a Saturday.
Who's Seattle playing?
Seattle's playing... Kansas City.
They're compromising. That's why the 9 o'clock starts. They're compromising. So the people in the home cities can actually maybe get a little bit of watching in.
Oh.
Which is nice of them to do.
Yeah.
Which is weird to do it on Saturday, though.
Well, because...
People still sleep on Saturday.
Yeah.
Fuck that. No, they don't.
I don't.
Yeah.
I never sleep anymore.
So
very tired.
So Saturday, that would be Roark and Sonny Gray, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Ah, good.
And then Sunday is Gio and Kazmir. So we should strike out about 30 times in that game.
Now, the Nationals did draft Sonny Gray at one point, right?
Did they?
Or did I completely just fabricate that?
It would
that?
Be on his baseball reference.
I know. Right? I looked and it's not there.
Well, then I don't think they
fabricated
did.
That.
I think you fabricated
that. That sounds like a fabrication.
Like, I remember that name. Maybe it was just when the draft was...
Maybe
but
you
it
were
wasn't
like,
that draft.
Hey.
They drafted Sean Black.
No.
Entirely,
I remember his name. And
it's
they were
entirely
like,
possible that you thought...
I will beat you with this bottle.
The West Coast Nationals draft. Why would you beat me with a bottle? That's not nice. The hell did I do to you? We'll beat you with this bottle, he says. Drafted by the Chicago Cubs in the 27th round. Drafted by the Oakland A's in the first round.
That's the one. Is I thought he decided to go to Vanderbilt.
Well, apparently you confused the Cubs with the Nationals.
Yes. And then the A's with the Nationals. I'm telling you, you just thought they were the West Coast Nationals.
Again, I will break it on the table.
What the hell? Why so violent? Vanderbilt University.
Yes.
Well, the Nationals have a pitcher from Vanderbilt University that's doing pretty well. Taylor Hill.
Why are you playing with Siri?
iPad.
No, I don't even know how that happened because I couldn't have hit the button through the cover.
Dave, it's okay. iPad.
Siri's just self-aware now.
I'll tell you what to search for, Dave.
Yeah.
I gotta be careful. TJ's gonna come after me with a broken bottle.
What the hell did I open this thing for?
I don't know. Why the hell is he gonna come after me with a broken bottle?
Taylor
Hill. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Freaking mean over here.
Why'd you have to buy the beer with so much alcohol?
I didn't buy it. You bought it.
Now Dave is forgetting what happened.
I just need more beer. For your safety getting home today. Oh, there he goes. That's good. That's a good idea. Just chugging.
Taylor Hill. Vanderbilt. University. He was actually born in Old Hickory, Tennessee. Age 25. Pitching at AAA right now with a 1.82 ERA. 7.7 strikeout per 9 and 1.1 walk per 9. So, strikeout to walk rate of 6.80, which is pretty good. Sounds like a Nationals. It sounds like the kind of, you know, Brad Peacock, Tommy Malone type, where they're control guys, not really strikeout guys. But I don't know what he throws. I don't know how hard he throws it, and I don't know much of anything else about him. Except that his name is Taylor Hill, and he's doing really good at AAA. And that we could see him at some point this year, depending on who else dies during the course of the year. Or how much of a pumpkin that Roark turns into before A.J. Cole is ready. Which sounds like A.J. Cole is doing pretty good on his own.
Cruising right along.
Yeah. So, we will see what happens as the year continues. But you know, the Nationals, they need 5 starting pitchers. I don't know if people are aware of this. They need 5 of them. But they have quite a lot of good things going on with starting pitching in the minor leagues.
Yes, indeed.
Silvestre is doing pretty good at Hagerstown. Giolito at Hagerstown.
Nice.
Austin Voth is doing good down there at Hagerstown. Hagerstown is just, they've picked right up where the Gulf Coast League Nationals picked up, left off. Yeah. And they're doing quite well. And so,
thought I heard something about that. That's awesome.
It looks like the Nationals farm system is a little interesting because you got guys here in AAA and then you got the guys way down in low A and a little bit between with guys like Michael Taylor and there's somebody at Potomac. Just can't remember who it is right now.
Kevin Keyes, dude owns Potomac.
He's at Harrisburg now.
Is he?
Yeah, he moved up.
Are we only talking
I was gonna
players?
Say
no, we're talking pitchers too.
Kevin Keyes had been at Potomac since I've been a fan.
Yeah, he's at Hagerstown. Yeah. We're going the middle here, the double A and high A. I think there's Michael Taylor and AJ Cole.
There's that guy who's good. Destin Hood.
He's at triple A.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you got talent at AAA and you got it at low A. And in between, you have a couple guys. And that's about it.
Yeah, that's all right. I blame the solid draft year last year.
Tony Rinda is at Potomac.
AJ Cole, Matt Perk, Sammy Solis.
Matt Perk does not count.
You don't count.
He's not going to amount to anything.
Nah.
Skoll.
But he's on the 40, man.
He is.
Michael Taylor.
Yeah.
Drew Vettelson is there, the kid they got from
the Rays.
Yeah.
Well, so they have guys, but really, if you look at the AAA has pretty good talent, and the low A has really good talent. And so, but pitching wise, a guy like Taylor Hill is someone you could see moved at the deadline.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, he's probably just a guy. Just a Brad Peacock, upside of a, you know, number three type of guy. And something that you could see packaged along with a Destin Hood for, you know, complimentary bats or something.
Or a reliever.
I don't know if the Nationals need one of those. They have too many for them right now. And Drew Storen hasn't pitched in a year and a half.
Man.
And
is Drew Storen dead?
Man, I'm telling you. I know we keep coming back to our fantasy teams, but I had him there, and he pitched, I want to say it was three times when I dropped him a couple of days ago. It was three times in the last 15 days.
How Matt Williams handles the pitching staff really bothers me.
Well, I think right now it's sort of the starting pitching is doing good.
Yeah.
So that's not really a problem.
No.
But now, Davey Johnson, I didn't really like how he managed the bullpen, where he had the A and the B bullpen. Because not everyone is really good enough to pitch all the time, or just like, it's Tuesday, so I'm going with my B bullpen. But we haven't won in a week, so maybe this is a mistake. But that's sort of how Davey Johnson went. He said, this day is theirs, this other day is these guys. Most teams have a winning and a losing bullpen. And the losing bullpen is guys that generally aren't that good. But you look at the Nationals' bullpen, and who's the guy you want to avoid out there right now? Who's the blower?
Tyler Clifford was. Well,
he's doing pretty good right now.
What was the question? I stopped listening.
Who's the blower right now?
Right. Who do you want to avoid? Who do you not want to see in the game? Who when those bullpen doors swing open and you go, and they come down to the mind, you go, oh, God. Or you go, time to use the restroom.
It's the set bullpen now, correct?
Right, yes, right now.
No, I'm thinking about who's there.
Okay, you have...
Because Matthews isn't there anymore.
Detweiler, you got Clippard, you got Storen, you got...
Soriano,
who's invincible.
You got Aaron Barrett, Jerry Blevins.
Detweiler's the only one who's struggled recently.
It's probably Detweiler, because if they use him, something has gone wrong.
Right.
Which is very odd.
But if... I mean, do you really fear, like, Detweiler coming into the game? Like the way you did Zach Duke or Henry Rodriguez?
No.
I mean, the Nationals' bullpen is very strong right now.
Now, I do...
And I think that you sort of... When the starter, like, goes like Strasburg did, and you just sort of hit... I mean, they used three relievers. They used Blevins, Clifford, and Soriano. And Blevin's been so good that they don't really need Detweiler for those situational guys, because like we were saying all along, you don't really need two lefties for those situations. They don't come up that often in one single game.
No, they really don't.
Yeah.
And I mean, the one that's really questionable. I mean, we can go and question stuff, you know, until we get blue in the face, especially the bullpen side. But that bullpen's playing really well.
Yeah.
So as far as the results, you can't really argue with those.
No.
But the one thing that is a little goofy is with Detweiler. Because I think there was definitely one this last week, and there's been another one, but I can't pick out when it was in my head, where they were like, well, we kind of want to save him in case this happens, and, you know, just maybe... But you saw this coming like three or four days in advance. So why don't you get him work 3 days ago, and then he can come in today, whether you need him or not, and it's not necessarily a, well, we need to come in and make sure he gets some kind of work, and...
Shut up, we're starting Blake Treinen.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the thing was, is they were like, hey, we're starting Blake Treinen, and we may need Detweiler, so we're not going to use him the day before, because we may need him tomorrow for multiple innings. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But then it's to the point of, oh shit, Blake Treinen did okay, and now we have to put Detweiler in for something, just so that he's getting some work.
It's
like, if you used your guys on a regular fucking basis.
But you can't control how that goes. A lot of that has to do with the starting pitching.
It's true, but I mean,
but I think
but
I think.
When, but what when I, Strasburg's throwing 110 pitches, you could probably let somebody else start the seventh or eighth inning.
It's good to let Strasburg get up there.
No, let him get up there because. granted, this is the outside perception. He's always had that, oh, they just treat him with kid gloves. Then right. he gets to a certain point and yeah. he can't do it. So let him go out there and show. Fuck it, I don't care. I'll go through 120. I'll go through 125 to get through an inning.
Right. Now everyone's stuck on the 100 number for pitchers. That's mostly for your 2 through 5 guys. Hell, your 5 guy, you probably want to throw 80. Just get them the hell out of there after the 5th inning. If they give you a 5, count yourself lucky and get to the bullpen.
Well, in typical yes. 2 through 5 guys.
Right, right. But
instead of 1 through 1 guys.
Yeah, I mean, where you have 1-1 and Jordan is pretty much 2, but in that means that he yeah. you can throw him out there and he'll go 115, 120 right. if that's what you need him right. to do.
But when you look around at the league aces, those guys that are just the elite guys, I think there was a start last year where Kershaw, it looked like he was probably going to be coming out against the Nationals, you know, where he was getting close to that 100-inning mark. Came out for one more inning, got to about 110.
Yeah.
Then he got up, came out for another inning, got up to about 120. And then he finished the game. So those guys, those Kershaws, the Wainwrights, the Verlanders, those guys, you're not looking at 100. You're looking at 120 as their sort of limit. And if Strasburg wants to be one of those guys, he's going to have to do that.
Step up and do it.
Well, and to this point, in his defense, it hasn't been him saying, you know, even at 105, 107, okay, I'm good. It's, right. you know, the manager's coming to get the ball at that point.
Yeah.
So yeah. to give him that leeway is definitely a good thing.
I would like to see relievers start with a clean inning once
in
a while.
That's the thing that bothers me. So they're coming in, and Jerry Blevins comes in with no outs and 2 guys on. Well, yesterday it was an out and 2 guys on, but I don't know. I just feel like it's not always the best situation. But, I mean, as a reliever, that's what you do. You come into those situations, but
that's your job. Regardless of the situation, and it's up to the manager to know who does well in those situations and who you need to go, oh, okay, no, they need to come in at the beginning of an inning and have their – it's their show for this inning. So.
I mean, you could say – I mean, Stammen hasn't pitched in a while. But, I mean, you have so many guys in the bullpen performing. And you sort of – when you get to the 8th, he doesn't have the A and B bullpen like Davey Johnson did. His 8th inning guy is closer is Soriano. If it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, that's who it is.
Yep.
And you know, where Davey Johnson would have said, okay, it's an even numbered day, so today my closer's Storen and my setup man is Matthews. Which it didn't really work out last year for Davey. Because
well, that's what happens when you make Ryan Matthews your setup man.
Yeah.
Well, that too.
He punches lockers.
And babies. I'm wow. kidding. He's a
but
nice
I think
person.
A little bit, a mix of the two could work. You know, you got a right-handed heavy hitting team on one day, and we know Clifford's better against left-handers than Storen, but Storen's better against right-handers than Clifford. So if you have a right-handed heavy lineup, you may want to put Storen out there to set up.
So but Storen's dead. Can't do that.
He may be.
I wonder if they just like have a mask, a Storen mask in the outfield or in the bullpen, and he just sits there. You're like, see, he's here. He's because not missing.
The last time
not
he pitched.
Worried.
The last time he pitched was on 7 days rest. And I mean, the next time he's going to pitch, I don't know how many days rest that's going to be.
It's kind of ridiculous.
But, I mean, you know, if
is he
Doug
just
Fister,
on Matt Williams' shit list?
No, I mean, what if Doug Fister goes out tomorrow and goes 7 innings? It's going to be Clifford and Soriano.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you put the guy? You can't just say, oh, well, I guess he needs some work, and we're going to use, you know, Craig Stammen as the setup man and Storen as the closer today just because, you know, I feel like it.
See, but I think that's
well, and
dumb.
Especially if they have any sort of a tight game or anything.
Right.
I mean, you have the trust in all those guys, but you're definitely going to go with the guys that are in that role.
Right. I mean, if Fister goes 7 innings, It's Clifford and Soriano. If you're leading, you know. If you're not leading, you're probably gonna use Aaron Barrett and Stammett and try and get some hold a tie.
And the only reason you shy away from that is if you've done it the last, you know, 2 or 3 days.
Right, they had an off day today. So they won't.
No,
so,
it'll
like, Fister goes 7, it's going to be Clippard and Soriano. And then if Roark somehow goes 7 and they somehow have the lead against Sonny Gray, it's going to be Clippard and Roark. Or Clippard and Soriano.
What kind
Clippard
of
Clippard and Roark, huh? I didn't know you could still put players back in. I thought they stopped doing that.
What kind of a pitch count do you think Fister's going to be?
They said it's none.
Really?
They said it's none. That he's a veteran guy, and they're just going to let him go out there and throw until he can't throw. But I bet around the 80 pitch mark, it's going to get a little like, oh, he let a single. Come on, get
him. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. 80, 85, somewhere in that range is probably going to be where it ends up going. But
we will find out.
Who knows? Sunday, it is.
Casimir and Gio, we said that.
Did we?
Yes, we did. Okay. We're going to strike out 30 times that game.
Then Monday, Jordan Zimmerman versus Josh Colemanter.
Newly put into the rotation.
Josh Colemanter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He was in the bullpen.
Cool.
Yeah. They won't be seeing Patrick Corbin that series.
No, they won't. Tuesday is Strauss and Bronson Arroyo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then
I like Kick City.
And then Wednesday is Doug Fister and Twitter superstar Brandon McCarthy.
Excellent. Oh, now, I believe the Diamondbacks have allowed the most runs in the major leagues.
I can look that up.
Yeah, we should look that up.
They have the worst. Well, they had the worst record last time I looked, which was 2 days ago.
I think
ago.
They got a little. They swept the Brewers, I think.
I know they won that series. I don't know that they swept.
Well. Them taking 2 or 3, they might have well swept.
Yeah, well.
They're 13-24. Philadelphia is 15-17. Tampa Bay is 15-19.
Okay, Arizona has given up the most runs at 201.
Houston is 10-24.
Houston is number 2. Do you want to guess how far the gap is?
100 runs.
Granted, Arizona's played 3 more games than Houston.
30 runs?
22. It was a 22-run difference.
That's pretty... Let's see. Their average, their team ERA for Arizona, 4.84.
To give you an interesting fact here, Colorado is number 5, and they've only given up 160.
Wow.
In one fewer game.
And they play on the moon.
Yes.
Mars ball.
I think Mars, the gravity is actually higher. I remember my science class.
And then the Earth?
This is closer to the sun.
Your science class was bogus then because it has to do with the mass of the planet, which is smaller than the Earth. It's in fact, the Mars is, I think, what, 2/3 the size of the planet Earth?
I think so.
So it's...
I don't remember science class correctly. Let's not blame the actual science class. Let's blame me.
Okay. I blame your science class, though, because you referenced it.
Okay.
Martian gravity is 38% of Earth's.
Okay.
So it's a third of the planet Earth.
What's the moons? It would have to be 1/6. Even less. Oh, so moon ball sounds better.
But I like Mars ball. Okay. Mars is a planet.
Well, we're just going to make you go play ball on Jupiter.
That would be terrible.
I think you get crushed to death on that one.
It's going to make you go stand. Just go to Jupiter. Go to stand.
Jupiter, go stand. I can't stand on Jupiter. I'll die.
That's the point.
We'll just launch you into space like in an Event Horizon.
No. No.
No. Apparently, that is way worse.
It's way worse. I'll go to Jupiter.
Oh, no. I'm talking about, like, if that actually happened to a person, then it's way worse than that movie even depicted.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it just happens faster.
Well.
Yeah. Ugh.
You mean it doesn't happen in dramatic tension like that?
Your blood just
starts... As people just watch?
And people just shove their arms down people's throats?
That was a different part of the movie there, right?
Yes, but that was the part that I was thinking of.
Okay.
It was terrible.
Okay. Nationals are suddenly 3rd in baseball
PJ,
and team in
ERA. Why do you want me to die today?
Go to Jupiter, Matt. Go get in your car, drive to Jupiter.
can't drive to Jupiter, stupid.
You can drive to Jupiter. It's in Florida.
Shut up, Dave. Well, that would still be a punishment.
Well, Houston has given up more runs per game. 5 even. Arizona, 4.84. Oh, that's ERA. That's not runs per game. Look at the wrong damn thing. Runs a game. Yeah, Arizona... Arizona 5.43. So, the Nationals may score some runs in this game. In those games.
Yeah.
But the guy to look out for in the Arizona Diamondbacks lineup is Paul Goldschmidt.
He's kind of good.
Yes. He's the guy to look out for. I think that's about... They have other guys. Martin Prado will destroy the Nationals because he's Martin Prado.
And that's what he does.
Yeah. Gerardo Parra is good at getting on base. But Aaron Hill, I don't know, has he fallen back to earth yet?
Let's see. I'm going to look at their roster right quick.
Right quick.
I'm trying to... Miguel Montero's doing good this year, I think.
Miguel Montero... Eric Chavez.
Well, I don't think he's doing very well.
874 OPS.
Oh, he is.
Wow. The Rockies have scored 215 runs this season.
Well, they play on the moon.
The White Sox have scored 179. That's the
they
second
most.
They
have Jose Abreu.
God damn it.
All it took was money, Rizzo. All it took was money.
The Arizona Diamondbacks have scored 3.76 runs a game. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth from the bottom in the National League. So, yes.
Going by OPS Plus, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players that are above average.
Their team OPS Plus, though, is 90, below average.
That's because they have Tony Campagna with an OPS plus of 10.
Okay, that sounds good.
Ender Inciarte with an OPS plus of negative 44.
Oh,
in 20 at bats. Solid.
Yes.
High five guy.
Wow. Mars ball indeed. Sorry, I'm still on that.
Yeah, well, get off of Mars. We're sending you to Jupiter, Matt.
Oh, why go to Jupiter?
Sorry. So, the Marlins have a lot of runs that they've scored.
The Marlins have been very good so far.
I have. Jared Saltalamacchia is the second best hitter on that team.
He's going to turn back to normal.
957 OPS right now.
That's got a 400 on base percentage. He's got to come back to earth at some point.
Casey McGee has come back to earth somewhat. He's down to a 789 OPS.
That was really funny when you said OPS.
On Twitter this morning when you said Jake McGee.
Did I say Jake McGee?
You said Jake McGee, but spelled it as Casey McGee spells his name.
Jake McGee. Jake McGee.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Derp. Derp, derp, derp.
I just... The Marlins lineup, like, they have a lot of guys that are performing really well, but they're just... I don't know if... I mean, Derek Dietrich... Really, someone you're going to go...
No.
Bank on?
No.
Casey McGee?
Nope. Hecheverria?
Well, he's actually come back to... He's a 718 OPS right now.
Oh, so he's gotten...
Danny Hecheverria.
Marcell Ozuna, who can't walk to save his life?
Nope.
Mm. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton...
Giancarlo Stanton is what's making that team as good as he is.
But let's face the facts with Giancarlo Stanton here.
He's going to get hurt at some point.
People want to label Bryce Harper as injury prone at the age of 21. I think we can label Giancarlo that at the age of 24. But, yeah. I mean, I don't really think that's true because he's barely developed as a player. I think a lot of young players get hurt when they're young.
Because they're young.
Maybe it's because their body's still developing somewhat or something along those lines.
Was he up the full season in 2010?
Who?
No, he wasn't.
No, he was called up that year.
Yeah, it was his call-up year. I think he still got hurt, though, but he wasn't up the whole year.
Well, I know he had a really bad stretch. I don't know if he got hurt.
I won't call that. I won't count that then.
Yeah.
So in three seasons, he averages 130 games.
Right.
Essentially missing a month.
Right.
God.
Yeah. Yes.
598 slugging percent. That's unbelievable.
He's pretty good. Don't know how I know that.
He's all right.
But other injury prone guy. See if a name just comes up if I just type those four letters.
Can Giancarlo Stanton do us a favor and just stay healthy until the All-Star break so that we can see him in a home run derby?
That would be awesome.
God.
Okay. Listen to this slash line right now. 414, 511, 775.
414.
Wow.
Yeah. Troy Tulowitzki.
Ah.
Ooh.
There's another guy who...
Tulo. That guy can straight out rake.
He can.
Bottom line.
He can. As long as he doesn't slam his bat into the ground.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
That's how he hurt himself one time.
Really?
He slammed it down, splintered the bat, and like cut a tendon in his wrist or something.
That's just fucking stupid.
I mean, just fucking freak, but he was pissed and threw it down, and yeah.
So he's not doing that again, is what you're telling me.
No.
So the
he goes and strikes out, and they're like, give me your bat right now.
Give me back, somebody.
The NL MVP award may come down to which one of Stanton or Tulowitzki can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Right now it would be Tulowitzki, but, well, it's May.
God, he's really...
It's not going to end that way.
But still. Yes. The fact that he's got that number right now, those numbers right now, is insane.
It is quite insane.
I mean, that's even insane for freaking Mars Ball.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yes, it is.
I gotta see these numbers for myself. I don't believe you. That's no shit. He has a 511 on base percentage.
Yeah.
139 at bats. Or plate appearances, I'm sorry. 111 at bats. He's got a 1286 OPS. That is unfreaking believable.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good at baseball.
Jesus Christ.
Can we say baseball? Is that also.
I don't think you're allowed to say baseball.
Okay, stick ball.
Stick ball. Bases. Mars ball. Hey, you guys want to play stick ball?
So let's run through the news from this past week. No significant injuries to talk about.
For once.
Thankfully.
We did have a guy come back. Wilson Ramos.
Two guys come back.
Yeah.
Counting Fister.
We had three guys come back.
Oh, Hairston.
And oh, yeah. Well, nobody thinks about Hairston.
Well, Hairston did what Hairston does.
He played got hits the outfield.
Off. Well, he didn't actually do that.
I know.
But he got hits off of left-handers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does not compute.
Well, I mean, that's what he does. That's what he does. Literally that's all he does.
He can't do anything else.
No, he gets hits off left-handers. That's what he's paid for.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why he's not paid a lot. If he could do anything else, he'd probably be paying more money. But he does his job much better than a guy like Tyler Moore does that job.
Yeah, such a freak.
Yeah. Well, sadly, the biggest news of the week is someone saying something stupid.
I was going to say, how's he going to put this out there? Exactly how he should have.
So Kevin Franzen is on with the Junkies.
I don't know who he was on with.
I believe it was the Junkies is who he was on with. And essentially gets asked who is the best young player on the Nationals, Rendon. Was he given an option?
No, he wasn't given. I don't even know if he was asked a question. I think he just. I want to look it up to see, because I know like the exact thing that he said is, to start, he said, Rendon is the best young player on this team. It's not even close. No one else even belongs in the same sentence.
Let's see. I'm going to pull up the Hardball Talk piece on it right here.
Yeah. So we have the exact. We actually attribute Franson's quote correctly.
Nats utilities player Kevin Franson joined the Junkies. He was asked which of his new teammates has impressed him the most this season.
So I could have gone with Worth.
He said Rendon, without a doubt. He is as impressive as any young player. In all honesty, he's the best young guy we have by far. I don't think there's anyone in the same sentence as him as far as young guys, and he might be one of the best ones in the league.
Okay.
Which, Franson is a 30-year-old guy who's been around, what were we talking about earlier, 2006?
2006.
So he's been in the league a long time.
Should have probably thought about what he said.
Not even that. Just give the stupid cliche athlete answer.
We got a lot of young, great young players on this team. Well, but the one I really noticed was Anthony Rendon.
Not even that. Just like, hey, you know what? All these guys, I came into a great clubhouse with a great group of guys. You know, we go out there every day, have a good time with each other. And there's a hell of a lot of talent, and I am happy to be, even in a bench role on this club.
Yep.
Guess what? He didn't answer that fucking question.
Yeah.
And then today, read that. Read again what he said. And then the part where he was asked directly. Just read what he said again. And then
do it, TJ.
He says, Rendon, without a doubt, he is as impressive as there is any young player. In all honesty, he's the best young guy we have by far. I don't think there's anyone in the same sentence as him. As far as young guys, he might be one of the best ones in the league.
And then he was asked, well, what about Harper? Or including Harper. There's a follow-up. Do they not have that part there? Is that what that definitely happened?
Nope.
Okay. But anyways, the Junkies did ask directly about Harper, and he said, they said even better than Harper, and he was, yep, definitely. And so, here's a question.
Okay.
Now, Franson said he didn't today.
No. And then this piece says not a word about Harper.
Okay.
So.
I mean, he did say it. I saw it in another piece, too.
Okay, so he said it. What did he say?
Okay, I said what he said. But anyway, now, if I was to say to you right now, I'd say, pie is the best dessert. It's the best dessert out there. No other dessert even belongs in the same sentence as pie. Now,
I would say, how dare you, sir? Brownie Sunday is king.
Would you say I'm disparaging, like, cake?
No, I would say you're disparaging the Brownie Sunday.
I would say you're disparaging democracy, because everyone deserves choice.
Okay.
I think the logical answer to that would simply be like, really? I love the Brownie Sunday. That's all it would be.
Okay. But by saying that nothing belongs in the same sentence as pie, it's clearly putting down other desserts.
Are we talking about pumpkin pies?
We're talking about all pie.
Pie doesn't have feelings, Dave.
You don't have feelings.
Chocolate pie has feelings. Anyway.
Okay.
Well, I mean, just...
I got what you're saying, Dave. I'm just
in the end, out. It's...
It's a little, it's kind of a backhanded thing to say, sort of, I guess. But I mean,
it's not even a backhanded compliment.
I feel like you have to dig at it to really find the problem with it.
Well,
the problem pretty much is that
you know who the best young player on that team is. You look at the potential talent level between everybody on that team.
And Harper.
And you know where the most potential talent is.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I mean, again, that all comes down to whether you actually realize that potential or not. Nobody's going to come across that in this season.
It was when he was asked if Harper was if he counted if he included Harper in his evaluation. So the question, he said, absolutely.
That's a dumb thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, there's a reason you're not a scout.
So, speaking of scouts, and speaking of Harper and this issue, Keith Law had some interesting comments today.
Mostly about Boswell.
No, he did have a comment about, what do you call it, too?
Yes, Franzen. He said that the Nationals should have cut Franzen on the spot.
Let me pull this up.
I don't know if you watched the Nationals last year, because having bench players perform was something they struggled with. So as unimpressive as Franzen is in his career numbers are still better than every other member of the 2013 Nationals bench.
It's true.
Yes, the question here is that a chat, so he's just in here answering questions from people. And the question he received was, why are some people apparently offended by the idea that Rendon may be or may end up being a better player than Harper? The response was, well, he's not, first of all. Although that's no slam on Rendon, but most importantly, Franzen should know better than to say something that stupid. Pretty much what we just said.
Right.
There were better ways to handle the question, and Franzen talked like a little kid who had never been interviewed by the media before.
Which is weird, because he's been there since 2006.
Also, probably not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
And then we get into the little... He went off the reservation a little bit. I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed that the Nats didn't just DFA him on the spot. You don't need more controversy in that clubhouse. Certainly not from a disposable player like him.
Now, I want to just say that everything's replaceable until you can't replace it.
Yep.
Okay? And as we saw with the Nationals last year... Mike Rizzo, the 2012 bullpen performed, or the 2012 bench performed pretty good.
Yeah.
And he brought back pretty much that exact same bench. And they didn't perform.
But, I mean, you can take that a couple of ways. Not necessarily you can throw him away at any point, but
right.
If he goes into a Chad Tracy slump,
yes,
Kevin Franzen's fucking gone.
Yes.
Right.
That's not a question. He's not a guy that he's not Nate McLouth that you're going to go, we're paying him $10 million. We're going to let him work through this.
Yeah. Yeah, if he goes to a slump, he's going. But the whole idea that you know, the replaceable thing is, you know, let's look at how the Nats bench did last year.
Now, to be fair, he doesn't say replaceable, he says disposable.
Yeah.
So a guy that you can get rid of, not necessarily that they have something to backfill him.
Yeah, which they don't.
That's definitely a heat of the moment thing to say.
I wish the guy they would have brought back to fill for him would have been Tyler Moore. Again.
Shudder.
Yeah.
You know, if Tyler Moore was given a whole season to play, he could hit 30 home runs. Now, I'm not saying how many games that season lasts, but...
300 games, duh.
Although, if you're going Franzen, I don't know what Cabernas is doing in AAA
right now.
He's on the DL. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He broke his wrist.
Yes.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Cabernas.
Yeah, he's on the DL.
That would be the first choice over him. Next. God, it's probably fucking Tyler Moore. God damn it.
Yeah, I mean, who else are you going to...
Of course it's Tyler Moore.
It's always Tyler Moore. What's the answer, Tyler Moore?
Steven Souza Jr. Nope, Tyler Moore.
Nope, Tyler Moore.
God, now I have to find this question about Boswell, because his answer about Boswell is great.
I could just see it. Like Mike Rizzo is trying to call someone up, or TJ is trying to call someone up.
TJ is
Mike
an
Rizzo.
Advisor to Mike Rizzo.
And he's like,
hey, Mike, we should definitely bring up Souza. I don't think he's gotten a fair swing yet. Nope, Tyler Moore.
It's like, you have selected Tyler Moore. It's like, no!
The correct answer was Tyler Moore.
Okay, here we go. Another question that came up, which we talked about last week, was Boswell's piece that was a little crazy, a little dumb. So, the question that Keith Law received was,
Holy shit, that's a cat.
Right there, outside the window.
Oh, it is a cat.
That is an animal. I was like, what the fuck is crawling by my feet?
I'm missing
free protein.
Ugh. You want to eat it?
Dave, did you not get enough dinner?
No, he threw it up, duh.
Okay, hey, Keith, how much influence does Boswell have with the Nationals? Do you think if Boswell keeps it up, the Mets can trade Granderson and a Shake Shack burger for Harper in the offseason? Blah, blah, blah.
What?
With how much Boswell seems to just have it out at the moment for Bryce Harper. The answer is, or that was given, was Boswell is way out of tune with the game at this point, and his attitude on Harper this year is just bizarre. 29 other teams would like to have him if the Nats don't, and frankly, I don't believe that they don't.
That's reasonable.
Which, I mean, that's... I don't know that I quite got that vibe from Boswell's piece last week, but he definitely made it sound like there were issues in the clubhouse and that Harper was the cause of them. At least that is how that piece was framed, and how those couched quotes made their way into the piece. That's how I read it. So this led to an exchange
between Adam Kilgore
yes.
and Keith Long,
which I have pulled up here.
Which I think Adam Kilgore was right in that one, where Boswell may not know really the whole, you know, all the statistical stuff and the sabermetrics and stuff, but Boswell's at the park pretty much, if not more than once a week, he's at least there once a week, which is a lot more than you could say for, you know, other Washington Post columnists.
Which is accurate, but a vague and kind of cliche term of he knows the clubhouse doesn't do anything for him.
Well, he knows the guys in the clubhouse.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what he's going for. But again, it does nothing for me. I would expect the beat writer and the main baseball writer for your, you know, town, your main paper.
What happened to Dave Scheinen? Is he still writing for the Post?
I don't know.
I haven't seen anything from him in a while.
I gotta be honest, I'm just not a fan of Boswell.
No,
he was very good in the.
He's not good. I'm just saying I don't.
I mean, for a while, but not now. I mean, now he's definitely
sort cantankerous.
He's lost his fastball.
Only throwing junk up there now.
Now the point that Law kind of made as Kilgore came as they kind of went back and forth with this was that Kilgore also works with Boswell.
Right, but Kilgore also... Well, Dan Steinberg also works with Mike Wise.
True.
That didn't really stop him from...
No, but I odds are if you are on favorable terms with someone you work with...
You'll come to their defense.
You were going to come to their defense.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Especially when the sounding board is that large for both of those. Kilgore has a large enough following, as does Keith Law. They may not be the same following, but they will have people that intermix.
Yes,
that will end up seeing both.
Yeah, and I think that I don't think that you can say Boswell's out of touch with baseball.
I feel like that'd be hard to say.
All right, but I just think he. I mean, you can take. I mean, you know the story of the three blind men and the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of what you've got with Boswell. He's just he's looking at the game, and he's seeing something different. It doesn't mean he's out of touch with it. It just means that he's not seeing what other people are. And we don't even know if what people right now are seeing is actually the truth. I mean, defensive metrics aren't where they're going to end up being.
Yep.
I mean, there's still work to be done. I mean, the dumbest person on the planet is the person who thinks they already know everything.
Very true.
Yeah. No, I'm not a huge Keith Law fan. I'm certainly not a huge Boswell fan.
Yeah, I don't like Keith Law. He's a prick.
But Law has definitely made some points in the last 10 days.
He may be a prick, but he's right sometimes.
That definitely resonate with me more, especially in regards to
the whole Franzen thing.
Well, I mean, the Harper issue in the last, 2 weeks or so. So, who knows? But I think it's super dumb to be going, I'm on team Franzen, or I'm on team... Who fucking cares? Well, these are two people that are paid for their opinion, that are giving their opinion.
All right. Well, Nationals 101 did an interesting experiment.
Mm-hmm.
They said, here's a number of players. Right. Which three would you keep if you can only keep three for the next 3 years?
Let me pull this up.
There were a lot of different answers from people, and not very many people had the same three players. And it's sort of, the whole thing of you're asking which players on this team made up of a lot of good players are the best, essentially. But I think that's really not the question, because I think you can't say that Worth isn't one of the best right now, but you wouldn't want to keep him for the next 3 years.
No. God, how far down was this? Okay, here we go. If you could only keep... you can keep three for 5 years.
Three for 5 years. Well, Worth definitely isn't one.
No, definitely not. The list that he rattled off was Strasburg, Jordan Zimmermann, Rendon, Harper, Ryan Zimmermann, Gio, Worth, and LaRoche. And let's go through some of the replies here.
Steve Lombardozzi, Sean Burnett, and Michael Morse.
Everybody.
Rendon right now is a good one. Let's see. I see one that does not include Harper.
Is that Kevin Franzen?
No. There's one here, which he makes a good point. 3 years ago, it's Ryan Zimmermann, Strauss, and Worth. He says today it's Rendon, Harper, and Jordan Zimmermann. I disagree with Jordan Zimmermann.
Yeah, I just don't know why people... Well, I know why people like it, because
he's a fan favorite.
He has a good ERA. He's a good pitcher. He's just not... He doesn't have the stuff of the other two.
You know what also I think part of it is? I mean, I know you're a big fan in general.
Whatever. I think Gio and Strauss are better, if that's what you're saying.
He doesn't open his mouth. So he never, aside from a bad performance, he doesn't really do anything.
Except for play well.
Well, he doesn't do anything to harm that reputation.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Because he doesn't say a whole lot, he has no opportunity to fuck that up.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Strasburg doesn't say a whole lot. They asked Ian Desmond about...
But they throw the microphone in front of him a lot.
Right, but they asked Ian Desmond about Strasburg, and he said something along the lines of, I may have said three words to him the whole time he's been
here. Yeah, I remember that.
And Ian Desmond's someone who talks to everybody.
Yeah.
I wish guys would think before they talk.
That wasn't even really a dumb thing to say, though. It was more of the... I think it spoke more to the fact that... Because Strasburg is an introvert. I don't think that's wrong. I think he's just pointing out. He's like...
He's also a Boris client. He's just passing through.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that all it takes is a small comment like that,
mm-hmm.
and then everything starts to extrapolate from it.
Mm-hmm.
That, he's not, he's not making any roots here. He's not planning on making any friends because he's not going to be here once he becomes a free agent. And, I mean, that's all it takes.
Well,
a fucking eight-word sentence.
I haven't heard anything of that ever since, at least. But, yes, you are correct.
Well, that was an interview with FP, so no one watches those.
Exactly.
Okay, true story.
Well, it was on the pregame show, so.
Sorry, FP.
I don't know how at this point the list is anything but Strauss, Rendon, Harper.
Well, I actually put a different list. I said Strasburg, Harper, Gio Gonzalez. Because I like starting pitching. And honestly, no one else was saying Gio Gonzalez.
Because Gio's awesome.
Yes, he's been... I mean, you can make the argument he's been the best pitcher on the Nationals since he's gotten here.
Really has.
He's been nothing but consistent. He goes deep into games. He strikes guys out.
He's reliable.
Yeah.
It's freaky. You've almost come to take it for granted how reliable he is. All right, he's going to start on Sunday. He's going to go 7 innings and give up a run. Strike out like 9 along the way.
Yeah, he's very good. I mean, he is excellent.
No, my thinking is just take the 3 with the highest ceiling and the 3 who were furthest away from their prime with the highest ceiling, which those 3 are.
Yes.
I would definitely, honestly, I'd be torn between Rendon and Gio for that reason. I like
but
Rendon's
Gio's
hitting
27?
Ability.
Hey, he's younger than Jordan Zimmermann.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he really?
He's older than that.
I thought he was a year older than Jordan
Zimmermann. He's been playing in the majors longer, but I think he's younger. I mean, he's not in...
You look up Gio, I'll look up Jordan.
And Gio's deal, how good does that thing look right now?
Oh, that is a
amazing.
Well, and it came out here in the last couple of days that apparently Rizzo did try and do the same thing with Doug Fister.
Yes, but Doug Fister's...
Before he threw a pitch, him locked into a deal.
Well, apparently his agent is smarter than Gio's.
Well, in Fister... And Fister's had a better run up to this point than Gio had at his run to being traded.
Well,
May 23rd,
the perception of Gio was that it was...
Say that again?
Jordan Zimmermann, May 23rd, 1986.
September 19th, 85. He's 28.
Ah, so he's a little older.
Yeah.
But not that much.
No, and for a pitcher going from basically 29 to 34 is where you'd say for the next 5 years.
That would be the prime.
Yeah. There's no issues there. Yeah.
I think, the Nationals, that was a very good trade. I mean,
God, well, I was thinking about that yesterday, actually.
Remember when everybody was so
like hot and bothered because Tommy Malone and Brad Peacock went?
No, it was AJ Cole.
Well, a lot of people who were prospect people knew AJ Cole. Everybody else was all over Tommy Malone and Brad Peacock.
Well, Derek Norris, too.
Derek Norris has done probably the best of the guys Oakland got.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's sort of a platoon catcher.
He's not starting is because
he can't hit arm side pitching.
No, he's in a platoon with John Jaso. Yeah,
right.
I mean,
he's a platoon player. Sort of the benefit of being Oakland, you can platoon everybody.
Well, that's what they do. That's their market inefficiency. They platoon everybody. It used to be on base percentage. Now it splits.
Yeah.
Kind of fascinating, really. They will platoon anybody.
Yeah,
they will platoon anybody. Right?
5 years for $42 million.
Yeah. Quite a deal. Especially when you look at what Ricky Lasco signed for.
So, I mean, you're looking at the breakdown of his... In those two option years are no-brainer options.
What are they?
They're $12 million a piece.
Wow. This is for
now,
Gio?
Yes.
Yeah, the age 32... is a vesting option, which he has to hit 180 innings in 2017.
Stay healthy.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's
we really have until he's 31 at least.
At least 31, potentially 32 if that vests.
God, that was such a good deal. That's the deal where you're like Mike Rizzo, lifetime extension.
How about if you're Oakland and you see that he signed that contract after leaving?
Oh, what the fuck?
Fuck. All right. Throw $11 million at Scott Kazmir.
So he's traded with Robert Gilliam. God, that name doesn't even come across. For AJ Cole, Tommy Malone, Derek Norris, and Brad Peacock. He then signs this deal.
That was immediate, too. I remember that.
So it breaks down. He got 3.25 last year. 6.25 this year. Oh, no, excuse me. 3.25 in 12, 6.25 in 13.
What year is it?
8.5 in 14, so this is year 3. Next year he gets 11. The year after he gets 12. The following 2 years are 2 years of options for $12 million apiece. Like I said, one's a team option, one's a vesting option. What is also phenomenal, say somehow he just... He, you know, does well, but starts to decline, and then say his age 30 season, he fucking flames out. It's a $500,000 buyout. So not only do you have a cheap option for WAR that is going to be, what, close to $7 million at that point?
Yeah.
And then you have the buyout that's nothing. It's...
Who is his agent?
That is a phenomenal deal.
Yeah, who is his agent?
Who is this guy's
agent? Is it the same agent? Does he still have them? He's with Aces.
Oh.
The Levinsons.
You know what? I bet Gio's like, I just don't want to move.
Yeah.
I don't want to move.
This time change thing sucks.
Like,
so
across the country. Can you just put a piece of paper in front of me?
That's the one extension the Nationals have signed or gotten.
I remember thinking it was a good deal when he signed it, and now I'm looking back on it, I'm like, wow. You know, break it down like this.
I mean,
it's
you keep looking further back, and it just makes more and more sense. And then let's go to Fangraphs right quick and look at his WAR for.
He's got like a 90 WAR.
The last 2 years.
not that high.
I'm just kidding.
That would be quite insane.
That would be.
My verdict is. So, in 2012, when they paid him $3.2 million, he was a 5 WAR.
Wow.
So you're looking at, say, flat $5 million a WAR. Go with that. So then 2013, when they paid him $6.2 million, he was a 3.1 WAR player. And this year, when he's making $8.5 million, he's already garnered a WAR in a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Yeah. So he's looking at, I mean, if he stays on this pace, you're looking at probably a 4.5, 4.8, depending on, through 7 starts, he has 1 WAR. So times, 4.2 or so, 4.3. Yeah. That's good. His strikeouts are up this year.
All the National strikeouts are up.
Strikeouts are up. Walks are down from career averages.
Gio's looked really
further
good so
down.
Far.
Remember how I said before, if you pitch to contact, your strikeouts will go up. Because you know what's impossible you know when it's impossible to strike a guy out?
When you're trying to strike him out.
Well no. What do you need to strike someone out?
strike 1, 2, and 3.
Yes. And you can't get strike 3 before you get strike 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you going to get those if you're trying to
throw strike one?
If you're trying to avoid contact.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know this, but most pitches that are hit
are strikes.
Are in the yeah.
Yep.
So you kind of have to, you know, do that thing there.
Yeah. I do give. I mean, whether or not it's fair, I do think that Steve McCaddy has a lot to do with this.
I think he does too. I think he's a pretty good pitching coach. Nashville's kind of lucked into that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rick Shue.
Poor Randy St. Clair.
And Rick Shue is the greatest hitting coach of all time.
Apparently. Apparently he is.
There were a few times where Rick Eckstein was the greatest hitting coach.
Well, let's actually look. Okay. When did the Nationals fire Rick Eckstein last year? Do we have a date on that? Like, when was Rick Shue's first game?
Not soon enough, obviously.
Duh.
No, let's just see. Can you look it up? What date?
Just Google Rick Eckstein.
Yes.
Rick Eckstein fired that day that he got fired. Duh.
Let's go to 2013.
Rick Eck.
Batting.
Rick Eckstein.
All it says about him getting hired. No, I want to know when he got fired.
We don't care about him getting hired.
Who cares who's with the Angels? Fuck that shit. July 22nd.
July 22nd.
He was relieved of his post. Yeah.
So July 23rd was Mr. Shue's. Nationals scored 1 run in that game. Rick Shue, you suck.
Fuck that bullshit.
Okay.
Get out, Shue.
I had to give him time.
All right. So we go from the end of last year. Okay. What are you doing? I highlighted the right damn thing.
Did you?
Yes. It turned blue on the screen. There we go. 63 games last year.
It turned blue on the screen.
Yes. In 63 games last year, they scored 289 runs, or 4.6 runs a game. Since so 289 and 63.
Rick Shoe's amazing. Let's leave it at all that. Right, it's time to go to bed yet.
Do you want me to get you some thread, Dave?
289.
And start just laying this out.
Yeah.
Follow the money.
It's 289 and 63.
It makes a giant dollar sign on the map.
All right.
Fuck.
All right. And this year, they've scored 303 runs in 34 games.
That's your job to do that math.
So.
17 is the answer.
I don't think that's the answer.
Well, that's hits. Runs is 143 in 34 games.
I was going to say, that sounds like a lot of runs.
So 63 plus 34.
Best offense ever. 63.
Hold on. Buttons. What am I doing?
Okay, 63 plus 34 is
97
games. And they've scored 143 runs plus whatever the hell they scored last year that I said. 163.
Okay, so 263.
No, 263. 263
plus.
This is some terrible math we're doing. You're seriously gonna fuck this up.
143. Divided by the 97.
Divided by 97?
Yes.
143 divided by
97.
4.1. Or 4.2. So they're scoring 4.2 runs a game? Let's see. What are they scoring this year? Aren't they over 4.2 this year? Is adding in last year.
So Rick Shue is consistent is what you're telling me. Boom. Analysis.
They're at 4.6 last year. And this year so far they're at 4.21. So 4.2 doesn't make sense. Must have screwed up somehow. See, you people didn't remember the runs.
This makes for fantastic listening.
It does, because we can't remember things. People are having fun.
Laughing at
them. All right, I'm done with this.
Cool. Cool story, bro.
Crediting Rick Shue with everything. He turned Rick the whole organization guy. Around.
Ta-da.
Rick Shue is Jesus. So... if you need to find Jesus, just go find Rick Shue.
Not his shoe, but Rick Shue.
Yeah, not Rick Shue shoe, but...
shoe shoe.
All right, this has come off.
Derailed.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's hit some final thoughts and we'll get out of here. Matthew.
I'm looking forward to this Oakland series. And I like Oakland, but I want to beat Oakland. I'm very happy with how they played lately. They did really well against the Cardinals. They lost to the Phillies because the Phillies are a devil organization. Pretty sure that it's because they're, you know, signed some deal with the devil that they always beat us. Well, they don't always beat us, but that's... anyway, played pretty well against the Dodgers. I just hope we keep up playing as well as we have the past couple weeks. And I hope Miami starts playing like Miami.
Yeah. Dave?
Yeah. What about it?
Final thoughts. Go. Stop looking at numbers.
I'm trying to figure this out.
Hey, beautiful
you
mind.
Failed.
Let's go.
It's because he doesn't have a window to write on.
There isn't a window right there.
He doesn't have a marker.
Literally.
He doesn't have a
right
marker.
There.
I have a beer bottle.
Where's his marker, TJ?
Right here.
Where's his marker?
He's just going to stab you with that and then start drawing on the
wall. Why does everybody want me to die today?
Quiet down, Jon Snow. Go ahead.
Just come up with a final thought in 2 seconds.
You're a jerk.
The Nationals are a baseball team. They play
the baseball.
Sport of baseball.
They do it well.
This may be the last time you hear us on iTunes talking about the team called the Washington Nationals.
No, it sounds like that's turned around. Mm. MLB Advanced Media quickly backed away from it. It was like, nah, we just sent it to Apple saying that people were infringing, and by some oversight, they must have just deleted all that shit. We don't know.
So Big Brother's pretending to
so
not be Big
Apple,
Brother.
Please put those back.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, Philadelphia lost 12-6 tonight.
That sounds good.
To Toronto.
Yes, well, you know.
I'm sorry. Tangent there.
relevant.
It is. It is relevant.
Well, people made a big deal today about the Nationals beating a good team in a series. Okay? Well, they may have beaten one over 500 team in the Dodgers. But when the Miami Marlins beat the New York Mets, the Mets fell below 500. So guess what? The Nationals lost three entire wins against 500 or better teams.
Well, that's a pretty tough thing to do this early in the season. And you also have to look at where those teams were at that point. Playing the Marlins right now is no easy task. Although playing the Marlins in August could be a completely different team.
Right. But you know what team has won the only road team to win a series in Marlins Park this year?
The Nationals.
The Nats.
Yes. The Marlins are unbeatable at homes. At home.
At homes?
At home.
At home. Your home, smell you later.
As on the road, they're not that good. And so sweeping them on the road, nah. But beating them in Marlins Park, that's a big deal. And, you know, if you look at the Angels are now over 500, so that series looks a little different. The Cardinals are a very good team. I don't know if you realize this. And splitting with them is really not that bad.
That's very good. They're way below their Pythagorean right now, too. It's very strange.
And I'm pretty sure I'm correct about this. But the team that I was thinking of... Oh, the Braves in 2000...
That team.
In 2012. Let's go to the right year on the old iPad machine. Hey, 2012. The last series against the Braves was a sweep by the Braves in Atlanta. So that was the last series against them. And in the series before that, no, the Nationals won 2 of 3 in that one. So they did not go 1 and 5. They went 2 and 4.
Jeez, the Nationals lost to a lousy third-place team.
Lock the doors, turn off the lights, boys.
But that was in 2012, but that's how the season ended against the Braves. Now, the beginning of the season and the end of the season, different things. And you're at different places. So that 2 and 4 stretch against the Braves then wasn't a big deal. No one made a big deal about it at all. But it's really not that much different than 1 and 5. Especially when that one extra inning game they played against the Braves could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I think they played a couple games that could have gone either way. But it's just... they'll win a series against the Braves before the year's over.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to say.
Plenty of time. Plenty of series left. All right, just the same as last week, check the show notes for the Indiegogo Fund that is going on right now with Ian Desmond for his End NF campaign, which is to fund research for...
Neurofibromatosis?
Neurofibromatosis.
Sorry, I thought I had it. I screwed it up.
No, you're there.
Fibromatosis.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, definitely check that out. It's a good cause, and there are plenty of incentives for tiers to get through there. And yeah, other than that, you can follow Matt at SodaPop6548. You can follow Dave at David Huzzard. You can follow me at Landwehrmeyer. You can follow the show at Sits of Natsdown. You can follow, and you can.
That comes out very smooth.
It does.
At Landwehrmeyer.
It's almost like I've done this. For weeks and weeks and weeks. And as always, you can find us online at www.citizensofnatstown.com. Until next week, we are Ghost.